Thank you for tuning in to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible on KEQX 89.7. The views, opinions, beliefs, and content expressed on the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible are the sole production of the Harrison Moore Expedition and its agents. The views, opinions, and belief expressed on this show may not be the same as those of KEQX or any of its agents. This show is brought to you by the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas, the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas, the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Texas, and the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, Texas.
Good evening and welcome to the Harrison Moore Expedition to the Bible. My name is Tom Moore, the gospel preacher for the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas. And my partner on this radio program is David Harris, who preaches for the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville. And we are delighted to have you in our audience this evening. Please remember that this is a live call-in talk show. If you'd like to call in with questions or comments concerning our topic of this hour, or any topic for that matter, call in at 254-445-2473, or if you prefer, you can email us at keqx@rocketmail.com. Now remember, this is a live call-in talk show, and we'd love to have you call in and get in on the conversation tonight. And remember also that here at KEQX, they have a new live stream that is just awesome. Good sound, it's fast, and people have been tuning into it and have been very impressed. And so be sure and tune to that. You can do that by going to www.harrisonmoore.org. Or you can also go to kqxpurecountry.com. Either place, you can get this information and live stream. Remember also that we're here to speak where the Bible speaks. And you have heard what men have said, and we're going to tell you what the Bible has to say. Now, last week, David, we had a caller who called in about Bible translations. And the question was concerning Bible translation. The one he was particularly concerned about or interested in was the New World Translation, which is a translation put out by the Jehovah's Witnesses.
Also known as the Watchtower Bible.
The Watchtower Bible. And the question was, how do we know which translation is correct and which one is not, and can we rely upon one or the other? Well, because of the question and what was involved in it, David and I decided today we need to talk about this because we really didn't answer the question adequately last Monday. And this is an important question because our information comes from the Bible. And so we didn't know that we've got an accurate Bible. And so we're going to talk about it today, about this New World Translation or the Watchtower Bible put out by the Jehovah's Witnesses. And it's important for us to realize this again because, we're going to find out today, David, that the Watchtower Bible teaches something and things much differently than most other Bibles that are out there in the world today.
Right. And we really kind of need to point out at this point, I do believe, Tom, that we're talking about the difference in some versions and an adulterated translation here. We have versions like the American Standard, the New American Standard, the King James, the New King James, even the NIV as different versions, and yet this is a translation that has altered many of the words of the Bible that are there. And it's very important that we make this distinction because in some of these versions, most of the versions that we talk about here, we're going to show some differences in just a moment, but most of these versions, you will be able to at least pull out the plan of salvation and mm-hmm. be saved.
That's right.
But in this New World Translation, the Watchtower Bible, what you're going to get is an adulterated version of God's word to suit their own bias.
And what we have really, David, is the undermining of the whole Christian system.
Sure.
In this New World Translation, and we're going to show you where that is the very case. Before we get into that, David, how about reading to us a passage there from the book of Revelation? It might just kind of set the standard for what we're talking about here.
Okay. In chapter 22, the last chapter in the book, verse 19, the third from the last verse in the entire Bible, it says, "And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things that are written in this book. Now, Tom, we are to have our names written in the book of life. According to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 3, the fellow laborers with Paul had their names written in God's book of life. Now, God says, I'll take your name out of there you change the words in this. But this is not the only place. We go all the way back to Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse number 2 at the beginning of the Bible. We also have Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 6 in the middle of the Bible, and the very same things are said there.
So there we have a warning at the beginning of the Bible,
mm-hmm.
the middle of the Bible, and the end of the Bible not to add to or take away from the Word of God.
It's that important.
This is serious business. Now, in the New World Translation of the Holy Scriptures, as they entitle it, the edition of the Bible that is translated, published, and used by the Jehovah's Witnesses, notice this. That the Gospel of John begins in this way. Now, y'all listen carefully. In the beginning, the Word was. The Word was with God, and the Word was a, little g, God. Now, why does this version use the expression a, little g, God when referring to Christ, when all other translations read, the Word was God, big G God, talking about deity.
Mm-hmm.
Why would they do that, David?
They are trying to take the deity away from Christ with this translation. And as a matter of fact, in this translation, in most cases they do, but they're even inconsistent about this, as we shall point out later on, the inconsistency that happens when you try to falsify or alter God's Word. Now, let me read the King James Version of what you just read in the Watchtower Bible. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So the Word of God is God.
Mm-hmm.
And so we see this here written in John chapter 1 and verse 1. All of the other versions will agree with this, except for the Watchtower Version, which is translated, and we'll get into the translation of it, by whom it was translated, differently from all of the other versions here.
You know, and you're right, David. They translate it this way because they do not believe in the deity of Jesus. As a matter of fact, according to one of their little books entitled, Let God Be True, they consider him to be nothing more than a perfect man.
Mm-hmm.
And since John 1, verse 1, in the common versions identify the Word, which is a reference to Christ, according to John chapter 1, verse 14, as God, as deity, these misguided people must reconstruct the verse in an effort to sustain their false dogma. They somehow must attempt to convey the impression that while Jesus may have been a substandard kind of God, little g God, he was not fully divine in the sense that the Heavenly Father is. Now,
that's their version of what Jesus is.
That's exactly right. Now, why, David, is this so critical that we believe that Jesus is God, that he is deity, as much deity as the Father is?
Well, and as we have said over and over and over again about the motto, you have heard what men have had to say. Now, this translation, the Watchtower Bible translation, this New World Translation of the Bible is man's document. It is not God's inspired Word, and we need to understand this. It does not come from the inspiration of God. Men have taken the inspiration out of it. But now listen to what Jesus has to say about himself to the Jews. Now, you see, the Jews had a problem, too. They didn't believe that he was the Son of God either. They didn't believe that he was deity either. And so in John chapter 8 and verse number 24, when Jesus came to these Jews, he told them, he says, and I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. Well, just exactly what was he telling them that they had to believe?
That he was God, that he was the Son of God, that he's deity, that he's the Messiah that was talked about in the Old Testament. David, that's how crucial this thing is. Because if you abide by the New World Translation, then you're denying the deity of Christ, and then there's no way you can be saved. And that's why this is such a horrible, horrible translation, because you undermine the whole of Christianity in John chapter 1 and verse 1.
The irony comes later in this very same chapter when Jesus says, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Now, the truth is God's Word. And the Watchtower Bible is a portion of God's Word. And that's what makes it so dangerous. You know, rat poison is 99% pure grain or whatever else it is that attracts rats. Less than 1% of rat poison kills them.
That's right.
It just takes a little bit of alteration here to make this word a damnable doctrine.
That's right. You know, there might be somebody out there, David, right now, who might be thinking this. Well, boys, what makes you think that the New World Translation's the wrong one and all the other ones are the right ones? Well, let me give you four red flags of warning that are raised when we think about this New World Translation. First of all, the New World Translation is entirely the product of one religious sect. Whereas other translations, like the New American Standard and the King James and the American Standard, these were produced by people of theological diverse teams who were highly competent in Greek and Hebrew scholars. So you have people coming from really different beliefs coming in and trying to translate the Word of God, the ancient Hebrew and Greek text, correctly. Whereas with the New World Translation, you have one group of one religion translating it. And as we're going to see, their religious bias came in to their translation. And not only that, the Watchtower leaders have repeatedly refused to divulge the names and or the academic qualifications of the people within their organization who produced the New World Translation. And David, in just a moment, we're going to be more particular with that and show you exactly what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But also, not only that, number three, there are numerous qualified Greek scholars of international renown who have voiced serious reservations about the New World Translation. Now, that in of itself does not prove anything, but it does ought to make you be alert a little bit and to want to delve into this a little bit more carefully.
Sure.
And notice, finally, David, as far as we know and have been able to research, and other people have researched this, no baptized Jehovah's Witness has ever been awarded a postgraduate academic degree by an accredited institution in the field of biblical Greek or Hebrew.
So they have not been educated in the Greek or in the Hebrew, and yet they are translating the Word of God with their own bias that could send literally thousands upon thousands of people to hell that believed it.
Yeah. Let me give you an example, David, and to those who are listening to us today. For example, the New American Standard of the Bible is a pretty popular Bible, and for the most part, I believe, is a pretty accurate translation from my viewpoint, and it is a translation. Well, the New American Standard Bible was produced by a diverse team of 40 translators. Each have earned doctorates in the field of biblical languages. That's 40 men.
Mm-hmm.
With PhDs in Hebrew and Greek studies.
Now, normally, when we talk about people with PhDs, all that means to me is post-hole digger.
That's right.
But these are doctors of philosophy that have actually studied biblical languages to be able to translate these things. There are some smart men out there, and 40 of these individuals were involved in the translation and the version of the New American Standard, 40.
And remember, they come from diverse religious beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
And so their goal was not to bring in any kind of doctrinal view, but to accurately translate the Greek text, the Hebrew text, as accurately as they possibly can into English so that we can understand. Whereas those who were involved in the translating of the New World Translation, there was only four. And their scholarly qualifications were not given, probably because there were none. There was a man by the name of Nathan Knorr, president of the Watchtower Society, and no academic training in any biblical language is given.
And he was one of the translators.
That's right. Fred France, no academic degree in any biblical language, though he did study Greek for 2 years at the University of Cincinnati. I studied for Greek for 2 years also, but that no way gives me the expertise I need to translate this like men who have got PhDs in this type of of ordeal. Albert Schroeder, no academic training in biblical languages. And George Gainis, no academic training in any biblical language. And so these are the men who claim to have expertise, but there's no proof of it. And when they've been even asked about the proof of all this, they were not able to give or would not give any of it. And so that in of itself ought to be able to raise a question about whether or not this is really an accurate translation, one we should rely upon or not.
Well, when you compare this New World Translation, this Watchtower Bible, and by the way, our telephone number to call in is 254-445-2473. Now, if you've got a comment, if you want to ask a question, we'd be glad to try to answer your question. Now, all we want you to see is you've heard what men have had to say, and what we're talking about here is a man's translation with bias concerning God's word. And when we look at this, Tom, we see a bias, because when you put it up beside the other translations, the other versions, if you will, this New World Translation systematically sets out to eliminate evidence for all of the deity of Christ. And just to give you a few examples here, instead of falling at Jesus' feet to worship him, as we read throughout the New Testament, they say that he did obeisance to him. Now, in John chapter 1 and verse 1, it no longer says the Word was God, as you mentioned just a moment ago, but it says the Word was a God. And then Jesus did not say, according to the Watchtower Bible, before Abraham was, I am, but rather to avoid association with the great I am of Exodus, Jesus' statement becomes now in the Watchtower Bible, before Abraham came into existence, I have been. In other words, Jesus is not the great I am as God is, as we read throughout the scriptures, but they've taken all of the deity away systematically. But even then, Tom, they are not even consistent at that, because we can go through there and we can just keep pulling out over and over and over in their own Bible where they actually forgot or overread or just did not get the deity pulled out concerning Jesus. So there's contradiction throughout the whole Bible.
Exactly. And let us go back to John chapter 1, verse 1 for a moment. That seems to be the one that stands out to most people. It's a verse they remember, a verse that the Watchtower Society have brutalized. And let me show you something. Let me give you the reason why they said they translate it this way. The Greek word there for God is theos. And they believe that when the Greek word theos is preceded by the definite article, that it should be translated as the God or God, Jehovah God. But when the Greek word theos does not have the definite article, they're saying that he's not referring to deity, but a lesser God. And so because the word theos there in verse 1 where it says, and the word was God in the King James, a little g God, the World Translation, because it did not have the definite article, it deserves to be little g God. Well, let me tell you, friends, that is so inconsistent, and they have deceived us, and let me show you why. First of all, the word theos is found some 280 times in the New Testament. And of those 1,343 times the word theos is found, and 282 times it is without the definite article. But notice, all of those times, 282 times it was translated, it does not have the definite article, but the New World Translation only translated it as little g god 16 times. So something's missing here.
Mm-hmm.
Now notice something else here, David. You'll notice here in John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, and the word was God. They say little g god because it did not have the definite article. But if you drop down to verse 6, it says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. They translate that as big G God, but you know what? In the Greek language, it did not have the definite article. So if they're going to be consistent, they would also translate that as, there was a man sent from a little G God whose name was John.
Mm-hmm.
You look, drop down to verse 12. But as many as received him, to him he gave the power or the right to become the sons of God. Big G God to King James. Guess what, David?
No article.
No definite article. And so if they're going to be consistent, they should go little G God. Verse 13, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Big G God, King James, big G God in the New World Translation, but does not have the definite article. They're not consistent, and what they're doing, David, is being deceptive. When it suits them, they translate it as little g God. When it doesn't, they translate it big G God. That's nothing but deception.
Well, you know, this is the glaring alteration, because when you take deity away from Christ, got a couple of questions I'd like to throw out there. How in the world, if Christ is not deity, how in the world does his blood then wash away our sins? How is the sacrifice of the blood of Jesus Christ himself, how is that valid to wash away sins if he is not deity?
It's not going to happen. You know, and it's amazing to me how people cannot see how ridiculous of an idea this is. For Christ not being deity. Everything in Christianity hinges on the deity of Christ. And they're taking that all away from people. And yet they're doing it through deception. And yet we're going to be looking at, before the program is over, verse after verse after verse, even in their own translation.
Right.
And that's what's important for us to realize, because they missed a bunch of things and they were trying to alter it. Prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus is deity. He is as much God as the Father is. As a matter of fact, not really of our discussion today, but they don't even believe that the Holy Spirit's God either.
No, they do not. They just believe he's some kind of a powerful entity, and he is not a person at all as the third person of the Godhead is. So we're looking at right now this one thing that they teach and the New World Translation. And what brought all this on was last week a question was asked. We were emphasizing how important it was to get into the Word and to make the Word applicable to one's life. And the question was asked, well, now, what happens if you get a hold of something that is not the Word of God? Then, and how would you know? And what we're getting into is how you can know. Jesus makes several statements. The Holy Spirit through God makes several statements throughout the entire Bible that is going to show us and convince us beyond the shadow of a doubt that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is deity.
That's right. And one of the things that we can do, David, when we're reading our Bible, is to study the Bible using more than one translation.
Mm-hmm.
And when there is a difference and a glaring difference, like between the King James and the New World Translation in John chapter 1, you know you need to look something up here. Something's wrong, because if these verses are contradicting themselves, both of them cannot be right.
Right.
And so what we do is we look at more translations and see what's going on here and see what they translate and then we go back to the original Greek language and learn from these things. So it's important for us to study with more than one translation, and we've already shown and are going to prove even more that the New World Translation is a perversion of God's Word. They have an agenda. And they have an agenda in a lot of things, but today we're dealing mostly with the deity of Christ. They just simply do not believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, in a full sense. Now, David, what do we think about when we think about regard to Jesus and the importance to our Christianity? What's the first thing that comes to your mind?
Well, when we look at Jesus and the importance of Christ, first of all, we've got to see that His blood, without His blood, we cannot be forgiven of our sins.
That's right.
Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22 says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. And so, without the blood of Jesus Christ, we cannot be saved. There is no salvation. There is no grace of God without Jesus the Christ. Now, why in the world would you want to take Christ out of the picture?
That's right. And you know, not only that, David, they don't even believe in the literal bodily resurrection of Christ.
No.
You know, and if you don't have the death, the burial, and resurrection of Christ, aren't we told in 1 Corinthians 15 we're still in our sins?
We're still in our sins, and we are of all people the most to be pitied.
And not only that, they don't even believe in hell. They believe in a person dies, they're totally annihilated, there's not going to be any punishment in hell. And so again, you're going to see all of these mistranslations. Time after time after time, they don't believe. They just change the scriptures to fit their own idea, and that comes because four men of one religious belief who were biased in their translation translated that text in a way that would be conducive to what they wanted to say, instead of being a literal translation, word for word, of the ancient manuscripts.
And all of this, we can back it up just a little bit. All of this comes on because of a man by the name of Charles Russell that founded this religion, if you will. And by the way, even the dates don't fit.
That's right.
And we're going to get into all of this. But what we want you to understand is that every translation out there needs to be scrutinized. Mm-hmm. We need to look at these things. Now, there's a difference, and we're trying to make the distinction between the qualified versions that we use, and there are several of those, the English Standard Version, and we've mentioned the King James, the New King James, even the American Standard, the New American Standard, but we're not talking about an alteration through a translating of the scriptures to reflect a bias of a certain denominational doctrine called the Jehovah's Witnesses. Friends, this is a damnable doctrine. It is a damnable text that they use, and they are zealous with it. And if one thing, you know, they do some things right, Tom.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that they do right is they are so zealous over their religion that they are not afraid to get out there and knock on your door. And perhaps most of the people that have been listening to this program tonight have had a Jehovah's Witness individual come to their door and try to teach them something out of this New World Translation.
That's right. And David and I, we're not talking off the top of our head or out of our hat. We today spent several hours comparing the New World Translation to the true Word of God. New King James, King James, American Standard, and various good translations that are out there, and we can see very clearly and very easily that it is a perversion of the truth. Now, what we're going to do here in just a moment as we come back from our break in about a minute or two is that we're going to prove to you the deity of Christ. Now, once we have proven the deity of Christ, even using their own translation, we will be able to show that their view of deity of Jesus is incorrect. And also their translation of John chapter 1, verse 1, and other passages are also incorrect, and it does nothing but be deceptive with regard to their translating of the Scriptures.
Very good. So, if the listening public has a question or a comment, we would invite you to call in and ask, and we will give you a Bible answer. We're going to give you all of the information that we can as we know it concerning this damnable translation, and the consequences of following this thing. And so if you've got a question, write it down, pick up the phone, give us a call, and we'll come back on the other side of the break, and we'll continue our study here. What the Bible has to say about Jesus being deity.
Brethren, we have met to
worship. Friends, this message is brought to you by the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas. We do not claim to be a perfect church, but we strive to be a church sound in doctrine, active in good works, and united in the bond of peace. At Park Heights, we believe the Bible is the inspired Word of God. Therefore, we insist upon Bible authority for everything that we teach and practice. We believe that we ought to teach what people were taught in the first century, believe what they were taught to believe, and do what they were taught to do. At Park Heights, we will never intentionally do or say anything that would make you feel uncomfortable. We will not ask you to believe anything unless we can give you Bible authority for it. The Park Heights Church of Christ would like to welcome you to come to our worship service with us each Sunday. We have Bible study Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Our worship times begin each Sunday at 10:25 a.m. and also at 6 p.m. We also have Bible study for all ages each Wednesday at 7 p.m. And at the Park Heights Church of Christ, we stand in the old paths and speak the truth in love.
Blessed assurance.
Do not let the memories of your defeats discourage you. Those defeats happened yesterday. Those mistakes, blunders, follies, the things that shame you and fill you with remorse, they are part of a day that is gone. Today is a new day. God has given you a new 24 hours. The best way to put the horrors of yesterday behind us is to fill today with a new and a better effort. Put your trust in God and walk in the old paths. Jeremiah tells us about them in Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16, and good things will happen. Paul said, and we know that all things work together for good, to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, he says, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Friends, let us focus on the future. I'm David Harris, preacher for the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Texas, and I invite you to worship with us every Sunday morning. Bible class begin at 9:30, worship at 10:30, midweek Bible classes at 7 p.m. Make plans now to attend.
Welcome back to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. I'm David Harris, the preacher for the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Texas, and here with my good friend and partner, Tom Moore from the Park Heights Congregation in Hamilton, Texas. And we're talking about today a question that was called in last week, and we considered it and thought it was so important that we had to just bring it back. We didn't feel that we gave an adequate answer as to what the Bible had to say about this Watchtower version of the Bible. It is a New World Translation is what they like to call it. It used to just be called the Watchtower Bible, and now they've come up with a New World Translation, and what it does is take the deity, among other things, take the deity, and we're going to try to show you several of the things that this Watchtower Bible does. Now, the Jehovah's Witnesses use this Bible. It is their only source of information that they use. They don't use other sources because the other versions of the Bible will have the deity of Jesus Christ right there, just like it's supposed to be. But they want to take the deity of Christ out of here. We're going to talk about the deity of Christ. We're going to talk about their view on the resurrection and how they have altered the scriptures there also. But as Tom said at the break a while ago, and by the way, this is a live call-in talk show. We're live on the radio right now. And if you will pick up the phone, if you got a question, the number to call is 254-445-2473, or you can email us if you don't want to talk on the air at keqx at rocketmail.com. We also hope that as you get to your destination in your automobiles, that you'll go into your house if you're a distance away from where we are and turn on your computer. We've got a live stream there that is about as good as money can buy coming from KEQX, and just log on there, harrisonmoore.org, or you can go to KEQX at purecountry.com. Is that right?
Yes.
KEQXpurecountry.com. And so there are several ways to listen to this program, and there's only one way to talk to us, and that's pick up the telephone. So we want to look at what the Bible has to say about Jesus Christ being deity. And as Tom mentioned just a moment ago before the break, we're going to even use the Watchtower Bible, the Jehovah's Witnesses New World Translation Bible, to even show their own inconsistencies about Jesus Christ being deity. Now, in Isaiah, for those of you who are at a place where you can pick up your Bibles, in Isaiah chapter 9, we have a prophecy looking 700 years into the future. The prophet Isaiah speaking, God speaking through the prophet Isaiah, has this to say in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. And I'll be reading out of the King James Version. It says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Now, obviously, that is making reference to the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ 700 years into the future there, Tom.
Exactly. And what's interesting here is that the inspired writer of God calls him Mighty God.
Mighty God.
And what's even more interesting to me, David, is that in the New World Translation, it also translates this very same word as Mighty God. And yet, the Jehovah's Witnesses believe that he is not God, but he is a little G God. And yet here in their text, they translate it as big G God. So they're inconsistent even in their own translation of the scriptures. And so here's a passage that disproves what they believe.
Right. And we want to stay just for a moment in Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 10 in the King James Version. We read this: "You are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me." Now, what does that tell us? That God did not create a lesser God after him.
Not only lesser, not any God
not
after
any
him.
Not any God after
and
him.
And yet the Jehovah's Witnesses will declare that he was a created being. Now, notice David also about that same subject in their translation of the Bible. Well, let me just read what they say there in verse 10 of chapter 43 in the book of Isaiah. Now, I'm reading from the New World Translation. "You are my witnesses," is uttered of utterance is of Jehovah, "even my servant whom I have chosen in order that you may know and have faith in me and that you may understand that I am the same one. Before me there was no God formed, and after me there continued to be none." So even in their own scriptures, they are contradicting what they believe. They believe that a God, Jesus, little G God, they say, was a created being after Jehovah God. And yet in their own scriptures, it says that there is no created God after me.
That's on their own Bible.
That's in their own Bible. They contradict themselves.
Now, let's do one more. In Isaiah chapter 40 and verse number 3. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse number 3 says, "The voice of him that cries in the wilderness," and this is a prophecy of the coming of John the Baptist in the New Testament to prepare the way for Jesus the Christ, the Son of God, to come and preach. It says, "The voice of him that cries in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God."
Mm-hmm.
For our God. And then in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 3, we read this very same thing. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of the one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord and make his path straight. And so the word God is used there again and again in the New World Translation. You'll see it just like that.
That's right.
Calling Jesus God. And yet they deny it.
Exactly. You know, the Bible says also, David, does it not, that in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
Absolutely.
And so we see there, when you look at that context, you'll see that all of the Godhead are involved there. But you'll also notice there, David, are you in Colossians chapter 1?
I'm in Colossians chapter 1.
Notice what Colossians in the King James Version says concerning Christ and the creating of all things.
In verse 16, Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. Now, remember what Tom just read in Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In verse number 26, we are told there that he created the heavens and the earth. And in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, we may not even have to go there, but I want you to notice now where it says God created the heavens and the earth. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, it says, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things exist. Talking about Jesus the Christ. Now, Genesis chapter 1 tells us that God created the heavens and the earth.
So our conclusion then, David, would be that Jesus created all things, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Now, if he is a created being, that would suggest what? That he created himself.
Right.
Well, because the Jehovah's Witnesses knew they were going to get caught in a corner on this, I want you to listen to me as I read in Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, their translation of this verse.
Of the verse I just got through reading.
Right, Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. And this is from the New World Translation. Because by means of him all other things were created in heaven and upon earth. The things visible and the things invisible, no matter whether they are thrones or lordships or governments or authorities, all other things have been created through him and for him. Also, he is before all other things, and by means of him, all other things were made to exist. Now, to their credit, David, what they do in their Bible is when they say they're adding a word to the text, they'll put it in brackets. They did that here. But notice what they've done. They've added words that change the meaning of the text.
Kind of gets us back to the beginning of this program, doesn't
exactly
it?
Exactly right. You know, that's just like having a commentary there. Well, the Bible doesn't really say what it means. Let me tell you what it means. Let me add a word to it.
Mm-hmm.
Just like Satan did in the Garden of Eden when he added one little word to God's command and it changed the whole meaning.
Right.
That's what they've done here. They've added word and they say all other things, inferring that Jesus himself was also created. But the Bible says he created all things and that Jesus is deity and not a demigod like they claim.
Right. Well, another passage that we would like to look at is Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 4, which says, for every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And yet in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16 and 17, we see that all things were created by Jesus the Christ, the Son of God. And so we find here that Jesus the Christ is God. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse number 8, we read again, says, but unto the Son he says, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. And so we have to conclude here that there is a Godhead.
That's right.
It is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And it is through that Godhead that we get the revelation that is right here in our hand.
And yet the Jehovah's Witnesses claim there is no Trinity. They say Trinity. And the Bible does not use the word Trinity. It uses the word Godhead. And that's what we should use. We should call Bible things by Bible names. But there is a Godhead consisting of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, which they clearly deny, and which also is seen by the way they've translated the Scriptures. They will not even translate that Godhead that you just mentioned there as such. So it's translated as, what verse was that? Let me show you how they translate it.
It was Acts chapter 17.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it was verse number 29.
Let me look it up real quick here in this in the New World Translation. Show you how they have adulterated the Word of God by the way that they translate a text. In Acts chapter 17.
In my Bible, it's right up there at the top.
Well, that's up here, too, on verse 29. It says there, seeing, therefore, that we are the progeny of God, we ought not to imagine that the divine being is likened to gold or silver or stone, like something sculpted by the art and contrivance of man.
Now, let me read to you what the Bible says. That's what they have adulterated, and here's what the Bible says. For as much, then, as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is likened to gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device. And so we see, again, the adulteration of this. Now, Tom, before we go on, let me give the telephone number again, 254-445-2473. This may be news to a lot of you that are listening to this, and if there are some Jehovah's Witnesses out there that are listening to this, I would venture to say that we are giving you some news that probably you didn't even know about your own religion and your own translation of your own particular Bible there. But we want you to know what God has said about this situation. Now, I want us to jump in here, Tom, to the origin and the history of this Jehovah's Witness religion. Because when we present this information out there, it's easy to see how this Watchtower Bible could be adulterated.
Exactly.
And we look at a fellow by the name of Charles T. Russell. He founded the Watchtower Bible Tract Society all the way back in 1879. Now, that date does not fit the church that Jesus Christ established.
That's exactly right. It was built in AD 33. Jesus said, I'd build my church. And that was thousands of years before he came. And not only that, he came out of another false religion, the Seventh-day Adventist, and established a new religion. It seems to me that Jesus said something about those kind of people, didn't he, David?
Yes, he says in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 9, he says, in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And that's what we've got here. We don't have the commandments of God. We have an adulterated translation that are now have become the commandments of men. And these folks that are being led by the nose by these leadership of this Jehovah's Witness denominational body here with their Watchtower Bible, they are being deceived, and that deception will take them straight to hell.
That's right. And notice when back at that passage in Matthew chapter 15. After Jesus said, in vain do you worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men, notice his disciples' reaction in verse 12. He says, then his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? He said, Jesus, you're talking about exclusiveness here, and these people are getting offended by this. Well, did Jesus say, oh, I'm so sorry, I didn't mean to offend anybody?
No, he's telling them the truth.
Matter of fact, he said in verse 13, right after they asked that question, he says, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone, they be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, they both shall fall in the ditch. David, there are a lot of people who are being led into the ditch because they're blindly being led by this perversion of God's Word.
Absolutely. And the horrible part about it is you've got people that flat don't know. When people know the truth, when they truly understand the truth of God's Word, they'll come out of that mess. And that's what we're here for. We want you to look. We want you to challenge us. We want you to call us. Please, if you want to try to defend this Watchtower Bible, then call us and defend it. We would suggest that you do. You can take your Watchtower Bible. We will take these good qualified versions that we have at our disposal here. We'll look at them. We'll look at your New World Translation. We've got one of those here with us as well. Tom's been reading out of it all afternoon. Call in if you want to try to defend your position here. It's that important. If you believe that you are the way to heaven, then I want to be there if you are right.
That's right.
But I can show you right now that you are as wrong can be. And if you are offended, please call 254-445-2473.
You know, so this Charles T. Russell, David, who was the founder of the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society, he was a pastor of an Adventist congregation. He established the Jehovah's Witness and began publishing Zion's Watchtower and the Herald of Christ's Presence. And, you know, David, he predicted that Christ would come in 1914.
And so then when Christ did not come in 1914, he's just as much as a false prophet as our man that we talked about here a while back.
You know,
he?
If I'm not mistaken, I believe there's three or four predictions over the years that the Jehovah's Witness made about the coming of Christ, Judgment Day, and it has not come. That alone ought to tell you a little bit. And after a while, you know what they did? They quit predicting because they got it wrong every single time.
And they always will, because the Word of God says that they will. Said, no man shall know, not even the angels in heaven, but my Father only. This is what Jesus says about his second coming. No man is going to know this. And yet these men in the leadership position in this Jehovah's Witness religion, they are so bold to say Jesus Christ's words are invalid. We do know. Jesus doesn't know what he's talking about when he says we can't know. Sure, we know. And so they have made three or four different predictions throughout the years, and every single one of them have been wrong and justifiably so, because Jesus said they're going to be wrong. Now, you know, it's kind of ironic that they do teach some truth. And we talked about this just a moment ago. They teach some truth, and it is the little bit of truth that they do teach that keep people hanging on, and they don't question the error that is being taught there. They just go with what little bit of truth that they do. They do some things right. They're extremely zealous. But please know this. Zealousness without knowledge will condemn the hearer.
That's exactly right. And in that regard, David, we remember the passage of in Romans chapter 10, and verse 3. It says, for they being ignorant of God's righteous... Well, let me back up to verse 2. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God. They've got a zeal, don't they?
There's no doubt about that.
But not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God.
So they've got plenty of zeal, but they have absolutely no knowledge of the righteousness of God. Now, the righteousness of God is the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
And again, why is this so critical? Again, the passage we started off with earlier today, in John chapter 8, verse 24, I say therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. That's why, David, this is so critical. You know, if we don't believe that he is he, you know, faith, if we don't believe that Jesus is the Christ, we don't have faith at all, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. And so we've got to believe this.
Mm-hmm.
And when they teach this, something different from that, and their translation contradicts that, even contradicts their own Bible, you know you've got a false religion and a false translation.
Right. Now, Another one of the false concepts, and we don't have a whole lot of time left on the air today, but another one of the false concepts is their error in their teaching about hell. Now, they are what we call annihilists. Are they not? Is that a good, accurate description of what they are?
That would be it, yes.
And for those of you who don't know what an annihilist is, they have this belief that if you are dying and you are in not in a good relationship with God, then you die like a dog and they bury you in the backyard and it's all over with. But that's not what God's Word teaches here. When we look at Matthew chapter 25 and we look at that great judgment scene that he gives us, in verse number 46, he says, "And these shall go away unto everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." Now, everlasting and eternal are the same words, Tom. Mm-hmm. If one is going into life eternal, going to heaven, and the other one is going into everlasting hell, you can't be going one place, not be everlasting, and go to the other place, and it be annihilation.
Right. You know, and in their book called The Truth That Leads to Eternal Life, hell, they say, is the grave. They say good people as well as bad people go to the Bible hell, the common grave of all mankind.
What kind of hope is that?
Not much at all. And not only that, David, in their book called Let God Be True, page 76, they say those who preach the doctrine of hell, they call us hellfire screechers. That's what they call us. They say hell is nothing more than a grave and there is no eternal damnation, no eternal punishment. Like you said, when you're dead, you're like Rover. You're dead all over. But the Bible says something a great deal. Can you imagine how, if people realize there's not going to be any eternal punishment, where is the motivation to live right?
There is no motivation to live right. There is no deterrent. For the majority of the human race, there must be some kind of a deterrent to stay within the bounds of God's law or any civil law as far as that goes. If there is no deterrent, If the speed limit out here is 70 miles an hour, but there's no deterrent for going 80, most people would go 80.
That's right.
There is a deterrent. God says there is a deterrent. There has always been a deterrent. It was put there in the Garden of Eden. There are limitations on what man can do, and the deterrent is from God. He gives us the limitations, and then he tells us the consequences of violating those limitations. And if we violate them, we're going to have to face the consequences. Now, the Jehovah's Witnesses and their Bible, they take the consequences away.
They take away one of God's motivating things available to us.
Sure.
You know, we have two motivations, to get to heaven and to avoid hell.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they've taken that away. And so people are involved in simply doing what they want to. Well, David, we have about 3 minutes left, and I'd like for us to mention in our last few moments about one other thing that the Jehovah's Witnesses gravely err in, and that is the bodily resurrection of Jesus.
And this is terrible.
This is. Jehovah's Witnesses teach, and this is found in their book entitled Let God Be True, page 122. They teach the King Christ Jesus was put to death in the flesh and was resurrected an invisible spirit creature. And so what they're doing here, David, is that they're denying the bodily resurrection of Jesus.
Well, you know, they're not the first to do this.
No.
And even Paul the Apostle, through the Holy Spirit, being guided by the words of the Holy Spirit, he corrected this false notion way back in the first century to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And when he says, "Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some of you that there is no resurrection?" And so they are incompetent in the belief there. But notice here, it says in verse 19, he says, "If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable, most to be pitied." He says, "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept." So Jesus the Christ, through the Holy Spirit, speaking through Paul, tells us beyond the shadow of a doubt that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, bodily resurrected from the dead. It was doubting Thomas, and everybody remembers doubting Thomas, that had to put his hands in the wounds of Jesus to believe it.
Now, that's after his resurrection, right?
Yes, yes.
And so for him to touch his wounds, he had to be in the body, right?
He had to be.
You know that's found in the New World Translation, too?
Their own Bible will lie to them.
It teaches, well, it contradicts what their doctrinal belief is. Now, David, we could go on and on and on showing the inconsistencies and the errors of this religion, but I believe that we have tonight, this afternoon, this evening, beyond a shadow of a doubt, prove that the New World Translation of the Scriptures is a perversion of God's Word, and those who adhere to it, they are being led astray.
What we would like to encourage everybody to do who is out there that believes in this Jehovah's Witness doctrine is to repent and come out of that. Repent and be the Christian that God would have you to be by being obedient to His plan of salvation and living by the Word of God, the inerrant Word of God that is given through the Bible, not through the Watchtower Bible, but through the Scriptures that are revealed to us and have been preserved for now a couple of several hundred years in the forms of these Bibles and these versions that we have here. This is not rocket science. But we can know the truth, and this truth will make us free. And people need to look and search and study and be the people that God would have them be. I'm going to give you the last word. God bless America and God bless our troops.
I stepped in one lead tonight with, let's be like those Bereans in Acts 17, verse 11, where they searched the Scriptures daily with an open mind to make sure what they were being taught was so. Please, you do the same.